Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It'll be the Lightning against the New York Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know if the Lightning remember how to play hockey, but by the time they will play, they will have had, what, 10 days off, Steve? Is that right? They're going to play Wednesday night.
Let's see. Wednesday night, they played last on Monday night. So what's
that,
9 days?
Goodness gracious. 9 days away, which, you know, the whole rust versus rest argument, I will lean towards the side of rest, especially when you've had a team like the Rangers go to a seven-game series as they did against Carolina. But I mean, I got to believe that fresh legs at this time of the year, I don't know how they're going to play Wednesday because it's been a long break. But when you've got, you know, guys like Braden Point that are out, and I don't know that he'll be back for this series or even for this game. But I still think that, you know, who knows what you're dealing with, right? Everybody's nicked up. It's a war of attrition. This has to help the Lightning.
I'll take the rest over the rust. Look, most teams that go on to win a Stanley Cup, somewhere along the line, have a short series. Four games, five games.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need some of the rest. You need the less wear and tear in your body. I mean, we know that playoff hockey is more physical. It's more grinding. And mentally, it's more challenging as well.
Absolutely.
Because you know what's on the line. Having that rest. Now, do you want 9 days? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
But when you have players like Braden Point, who's out, and you want a shot to get him back, I don't think he plays Wednesday. May not play Friday or Sunday. Could he be back by the end of the series if it goes six, seven games? I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll find out more today. The Lightning will have their media day. You'll hear from lots of players, including head coach John Cooper and general manager Julian Breezeball will speak as well.
Oh, nice.
They usually don't give many updates, but maybe we'll find out if it's, you know, possible this series if Braden Point comes back, or they may rule him out. Who knows? Most likely they won't say anything, but you never know what's going to happen. We know that there was players who missed some practices when they finally resumed after the rest. Brendan Hagel and Mikhail Sergachev. So we know there's players dinged up. The more rest means the better chance they have of playing and playing at a higher level or a healthier level. The other part of this is you're starting on the road. You had the same amount of points as the Rangers during the regular season. They had more regulation wins than you did. So you have to start on the road. Your goal on the road is to win one of two games.
Mm-hmm.
So even if the rest means you come out Wednesday and you're a little flat, maybe the passes aren't crisp. What happens with the Lightning, and they're such a high-skill team, that a lot of times when they get a lot of rest, they come back, and it's the passes that just aren't tape to tape.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a little bit off. And when they're a little bit off, it makes them slow because they can't just go. And so maybe Wednesday they come out and lay a stinker. But it's not the end of the world if you come back and win game two. You just need one of these two. So I'll take the rest over having to play a seven-game series coming into this, and then less than 48 hours later you're starting at a new series at home and the pressure's on you to win the first two. I'd rather be the road team in that situation. And I'm not saying the Lightning will come out and lay a stinker in game one. I'm just saying if it does happen, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. And you know, game sevens, I mean, they obviously won a game seven in Toronto, right? And for that matter, New York won a game seven in Carolina. And in that series, all the home teams had won.
They won a game seven in Pittsburgh, too. So, I mean, they've gone two seven-game series going into this. They've played 14 playoff games.
Yeah.
Where the Lightning have played 11.
Mm-hmm. Big difference. And I just think there's so much pressure to start a series at home and so many expectations that you're kind of playing with house money. Like you said, if you don't play well in the first one, you still got another chance. You win one out of two, boom, there goes the home ice advantage right there. So, the Lightning know how to do this, and they've done it in the past. But, you know, I think it's going to help Vasilevskiy a little bit. I mean, I think that's such a grind. He's the only guy that's going to play every minute of every single game. And I know goaltenders like to play a lot and that sort of thing, but he certainly navigated the postseason before. But to get him fresh is big. I love this matchup. I don't know if I have this on our podcast documented or not, but I know I told somebody, and I think I said it here. I thought the Rangers were going to make it to this far. I thought that they were a really good team. A lot of people did. Obviously, you said they had the same number of points as the Lightning. But Igor Shesterkin, their goaltender, had the best year during the regular season. He's most likely or probably a shoe-in for the Vezina Trophy. He's not the best goaltender in the world. That would be Andrei Vasilevskiy, and we're going to find out the difference in the postseason. That's where Andrei has shined the most. But, you know, after a kind of a shaky first couple of games in the first playoff series that they had, he's really settled down. And so the Lightning, I tell you, this Rangers-Lightning matchup is intriguing to me because those teams are built in similar fashion. In other words, they can look a lot alike up and down the ice. And, of course, they got Barkley Goodrow, who came over from the Lightning, which is a, you know, big assist for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a real entertaining series. And, you know, goaltending being such a big part of this, you made mention before the podcast to me, you know, really the Rangers haven't had to go up against the number one goaltender in these playoffs.
So they've gone to two game sevens in this playoffs. And the goalie on the ice at the end of the game seven for both teams were their third string goalie that they faced. Louis Domingue for Pittsburgh. And now Antti Raanta got hurt in the second period of tonight's game seven. So
yeah, it looked like a hamstring or something.
Yep. So, I mean, the Rangers are a good team, but they've been facing backup and third string goalies almost the whole playoffs.
Sure.
You know, Frederik Andersen hasn't been there for Carolina, and I think that really hurt them.
Yeah,
because we know sure Carolina is a really good team. Their power plays also hasn't been very effective.
Right.
And against Pittsburgh had the lead. They were down to the third-string goalie, and then Sidney Crosby got hurt. The Rangers reeled off three in a row. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Rangers are a good team. They're young. They don't have a ton of a playoff experience. But they haven't also they've had some luck as far as injuries on the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking anything away from them. You play who you play. You play who's on the schedule.
Absolutely.
And you go. But they're going to step up in goalie class now. This isn't Antti Raanta. This isn't Louis Domingue. This is Andrei Vasilevskiy they're going up against now.
And despite that, you made the point that they've gone to two game sevens this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be a step up in class for them. The Rangers have a lot of high-end players. Mika Zibanejad, Chris Kreider. They've had a phenomenal season. It's mm-hmm. going to be a fun series. I don't necessarily trust their back end. I think the Lightning can score goals, although Shesterkin's really good.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think the Lightning cared who they faced, the Rangers or the Hurricanes.
No,
they never care. They don't care.
No.
The Lightning should go in the favorite of the series. I haven't seen odds or anything yet, but I believe the Lightning will be the favorites based on what they did to Florida this last round.
Right.
And if the Lightning play the type of hockey they're capable of, they should win the series.
Yeah, and listen, and we don't know who they may or may not get back, but we do know that the guys that you mentioned that missed some practice had to be nicked up a little bit, and for that matter, everybody's beat up this time of year. Everybody has something they're dealing with, some even if it's just bruises from blocking shots. You're going to have fresh legs. That's such a big part of this time of year. You know, it is a war of attrition. We've talked about how, and I haven't seen, you know, a ton of major injuries, you know, to the Rangers, but the fact is they've had to play a lot of hockey, and eventually, you know, that's going to take something out of you. And also the Lightning, just, you know, you talk about experience, right? I mean, the Rangers haven't been this far. I was trying to think, was the last time the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Final when they played the Tampa Bay Lightning, when the Lightning won game seven and went to, or played against Chicago in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah. I mean, cause the Rangers would have gone into a rebuild shortly after that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it got traded to like Ryan McDonough and JT Miller came here for Brett Howden and
that's right.
Ibor Hayek and some picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Rangers kind of went through a rebuild. And so they're coming out of that rebuild now. They've got a really good goalie. They got some great young players like Adam Fox. They've got veterans. Mm-hmm. They're a good team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this.
Well, it's been a minute.
Last time they faced in the playoffs, it was a 7-game series that the Lightning ended up getting a shutout at Madison Square Garden for game
seven.
Ben
Bishop. Mm-hmm. Ben Bishop shut him out.
Game-winning goal. You remember who scored the game-winning goal in that series?
Oh, man. I don't.
Braden Coburn.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
Who had him on the bingo card? That was way down there. I just remember when they went to New York, I thought this series is over. There's no way they're going to win up there because I don't think they had won many games up there during the series. But Bishop was phenomenal and did kind of what Vasi did, which is close them out, man, with a shutout. And maybe that's where Vassy got sort of that mojo. But yeah, that's the last time. That's been quite a while. Wait, I want to say, what would that be, like 2016 or something?
15 all the way to the final. Jeez.
Wow. Wow. So wouldn't you know, if you're the New York Rangers fans, like, yeah, here, oh, great, here come the Lightning. We'll get another shot at them. They're just the team that can't be denied. We say this all the time. We said it, you know, when the Bucks won the Super Bowl, but we certainly said it with the Lightning going back-to-back Stanley Cups. This just doesn't happen in the salary cap era. You know, to go to, what is it, seven out of nine? What did you say, 7 out of 9
mm-hmm.
Eastern Conference Finals?
I mean, this is 6 out of 8 and 7 six out of 12.
7 out of 12. Okay, 6 out of 8. All right, let's just stick with that, 6 out of 8. What team and what sport has gone to 6 out of 8 championship games? They're very, very hard to do, man. This is major league sports.
Hockey, it hasn't happened since the Avalanche in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, I mean, jeez.
NBA, I believe it's happened more often.
Yeah, I mean, Golden State. Golden State's had a run.
The Bulls obviously did, because they won 6 championships in 8 years in the 90s.
Sure, if you want to go back that far. Miami had a little bit of a run there for a while. LeBron had a personal run where I think he went to like 9 straight championships or something like that, or something crazy like that. But yeah, it's pretty rare. I mean, what we're watching is pretty rare. So it feels like the season ended and now they're starting over again. I mean, I can't remember this many days off during the postseason certainly for the Lightning, but for many teams, right? Like, this is just an incredible long break for them. But again, I think it's going to help them. So we'll see. We'll see how the Rangers rebound from another 7-game series against Carolina. They don't have much time, and it'll be Wednesday. And the other Western Conference, of course, it's going to be Colorado against
Edmonton.
The Oilers. And Colorado, I would think, would be the favorite in that series, although I'm not sure. I haven't seen the Las Vegas odds. But
Colorado should be the favorite. That's going to be a fun series, though.
Yeah.
That Colorado's a deep team that's actually played better than what maybe the scores in series have looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you know, St. Louis took them to 6 games, but Colorado dominated that series, really. The scores didn't necessarily show it, but when you look at how they controlled play in that. And then Edmonton, Connor McDavid has finally figured out how to take it to that next level that Stamkos and the Hedman and those players have talked about, that learning how to, you know, and how Andrew Burnett talked about the will of the Lightning.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid's got that will right now. I mean, he's practically carrying that team on his back.
Did you see that 200-foot goal? He basically took it from behind. I think it was behind the net or in front of his net or whatever it was, and just, like, basically weaved his way through the entire team to score. That was incredible.
He has finally figured some stuff out. And you know, look, he's a young player still. You know, I always think it's funny when you get a player like McDavid or Austin Matthews, even in Toronto still.
Mm-hmm.
And they're learning and figuring this out. I mean, you know, we tend to forget Michael Jordan. How many times did he not make the NBA Finals
before
he finally did in 1991? I mean, it's not like he came in the NBA and 2 years in, he was in the finals every year.
Yeah.
You know, he lost to the Pistons. He lost to the Celtics. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he had to learn and build a team around him, and that's how it all works. I mean, the Lightning, look, they started going to the final back in 2015. They didn't make it back till 2020.
They went to
the Eastern Conference Final a few more times in between. You know, there's a process to winning most of the time. I suppose there are exceptions, but there's a process to it of, you know, ups and downs and highs and lows and learning exactly what you have to do, because the playoffs are a different beast than the regular season.
I think Florida's going through that.
Absolutely.
You know, Florida reminds me of the team, you know, what was it, years ago that the Lightning won the President's Trophy and you know, lost in 4 to Columbus, and it's kind of like Florida's sort of in that vein right now. They got to figure out what they need to do in the postseason that they don't do during the regular season.
You could say Toronto and Carolina are the same way.
Absolutely.
And Carolina wins, you know, they win a playoff series or two every year, but they haven't figured out how to get all the way. And this year I think they're, you know, hurt by goalie getting hurt
and
that happens. But, you know, the building a winner is a process, and it's not something that you just, okay, add these players together and boom, it happens.
Right. You know?
I mean, even Tom Brady coming to Tampa Bay. Brady took them over the hump, but they had a lot of good pieces when he got here.
Well, they did, and listen, they had a lot of negatives to him that year with the with COVID and everything else. But they were 7-5. I think people forget just what struggles they had, you know, at 7-5, and how they had to come together during the bye week and really, you know, figure some things out offensively. And then the defense started playing better, and it took them a while to really get going. I mean, they were in danger of not making the playoffs at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ripped off 8 wins in a row, including 4 in the postseason, and the Super Bowl being at home. But yeah, that was an adjustment, and that's one player. He's albeit a very important one.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right; they had a lot of good players that had been playing together for a long time, and it still took them a while to get going.
Yeah, so I mean, the playoffs. Yeah, the playoffs are a process, and teams have to build to it, and you know, it's something the Lightning understand. And this playoffs, once again, they've shown you that they can turn it on. Now, after it's been off for 9 days, can they turn it on again? We'll see.
Right, right. Well, I think it'll be a great series. And I thought the Rangers would go deep. I didn't know. I mean, when you have a good goaltending, you start there. He's been terrific throughout the year, pretty good now in this second series, at least in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it's going to be fun to watch.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Over the weekend, this series actually started since we've last, I think, we're on the podcast. Of course, we took Memorial Day off with our families, and hope everybody observed all those that sacrificed for us on that day, and you had a good weekend. But
speaking of that, by the way, over the weekend, I was at a baseball tournament for my sons. They're in some summer all-star baseball tournaments. So I was down in Sarasota at the Cal Ripken Classic down there, and I was talking to a coach at Lutz, and we were just having a conversation.
Right up here.
We were just talking about the tournament. They had played the team that we were getting ready to play beforehand for my six-year-old.
Oh, you're getting a little scouting report.
Yeah, I was just, you know, seeing how they were doing and how they ran their league and such. Mm-hmm. And so he's talking, and halfway through the conversation, he goes, "Do you do a podcast with Rick Stroud?"
Damn right.
I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I saw your son's name on his jersey," and I'm like, "Wow, okay." And then I'm talking to you, and I recognized your voice. So it's Omar, who's a coach of the Lutz team, a six-year-old all-star team in Lutz there. Listens cool. every day. So hello, Omar. Hope you
shout out to Omar.
Not sure how they finished up the tournament or not. So, yeah. But that was the I was going into our first game. So real nice gentleman. So
you know, it's a my son was when he grew up, he was in the East Lake, you know, over in Palm Harbor. But I've lived in Lutz, and since I've lived here, I go by there a lot. And that's a really successful little league over there in all kinds of sports, football as well. But their baseball does very, very well. So I'm sure Omar has got them going. And good. Shout out to Omar. We love that. Listen, and not for nothing, we won't pat ourselves on the back here, but we've gotten a lot of feedback. Of course, anytime we have mailbags, everybody contributes. This podcast now, we've been doing this for, I think, what, Steve, going on 6 years, 7 years? I don't even know what it is.
It was
a Super Bowl weekend. I was in Minnesota. I want to say it was the Super Bowl in Minneapolis.
Well, that's when we launched it as Sports Day Tampa Bay. Before that, it was the Rick and Tom podcast.
That's correct.
So that would have started, I want to say.
That's probably been like 8
I
want to
say,
seven,
no, I want to say it's been 5 years. It was 17, I think it was.
I think me and you have been doing it 5, haven't we? No?
I was trying to Maybe think. Not. I think we started that, I think it became Sports Day Tampa Bay in like the Super Bowl of 18. So the 17 season.
Okay. So all right. Yeah. Wherever the Minnesota game. Okay. 4 or 4 or 5. Boy, it seems like 20.
Although you know, like
when you do it every night.
Here, if you want, I can look it up. But
no, that's okay. We'll look it up some other time, and we'll find out when our anniversary is. I know it's around the Super Bowl every year. As far as when me and you have done it.
Looks like prior to that, the first show of Rick and Tom was September 17th of 17.
Oh wow, 17. Okay, so here we are in 2022. 2002, correct?
Yeah, Sports Day Tampa Bay would have been the Super Bowl after Super Bowl in 18.
Yeah, we did about a year together. Yeah, and then we made
Sports Day Tampa Bay. Yeah, it was like 6 months together, and then
okay,
and then someone jumped ship.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about him. but yeah, it's we get feedback all the time. I appreciate Omar listening and everybody else that does as well. But before we went away for the weekend, the Yankees were in town. And of course, that series was well attended. I think there was a couple sellouts, at least over the weekend, if not prior to that. Very interesting series. Look, they lost the first two games, the Rays did, and they were low-scoring affairs. In fact, very few hits. The Yankees' pitching was stellar, and they were very impressive on the mound. And I guess I should have been prepared for that. They were relatively close games. Rays really didn't hit the ball very much throughout the entire series. But you got to give them credit for getting off the mat and finding a way, and I mean finding a way to win the last two and getting a series split. Of course, they're going to play 19 times before this is all over. And after game one, it was funny because the Yankees won, and I think Taylor Walls had a quote afterwards like, look, we're not going anywhere. We'll be here all year. You know, like this, you know, so what? They're beatable. He called them beatable. That made the rounds around the clubhouse over there with the Yankees. And then they backed it up. I mean, they lost the next game, but then they came back and won two in a row. And not to be outdone, Taylor Walls in that final game, oh, my God, have a day. This kid hits a home run, plays third, starts a clutch double play from third base, and then makes the play of the year in the infield on a backhander that he wheeled around and threw the guy out at first, and it was stellar. So he had a huge game, and they managed to win. The Rays pitching has carried them again. No surprise, that's their recipe, pitching and defense. But, Steve, I got to tell you, man, they were getting ready to play the Rangers, and as we're doing this podcast, they battled back. They're now trailing 9-5. Matt Moore, remember him? He came in for the Rangers. Matt Moore.
I didn't realize he was still pitching.
I had no idea he was in baseball. I didn't. And after watching that appearance, maybe he won't be much longer. I don't think he recorded an out, and he gave up about 3 runs. But be that as it may, I'm watching them. They're putting out the lineup. And, of course, you know, you got guys like Vidal Brujan in there. And, you know, obviously a lot of the Rays bats are on the shelf right now, Brandon Lau and others. But this team, I mean, the last 4 or 5 guys are like 170, 185, I think 212, 211 was like the highest batting average the last 4 or 5 hitters in the lineup. They are going to struggle and have struggled scoring some runs of late. And I don't see it getting much better. I mean, at one point, a couple weeks ago, maybe it was less than that, maybe still, Kevin Kiermaier was leading this team in home runs, even though from a home run standpoint, they are about 15th, I think, in the major leagues in home runs per game as far as that average goes. But they, and this has been the thing about them, you know, sort of, you know, after this game, I think they could fall to third place or into a tie, I think, with Toronto for second or something like that. They're in second now behind the Yankees. They were 4.5 to start this game. But, you know, the pitching has always sort of carried them. But then when you get in the postseason, you need some big bats to come alive. And, you know, last year, Randy Arozarena did that. Wander Franco did that as a rookie. No one else really followed up with it. And I think 1 through 9, even though they move the ball and they steal a lot of bases, I think they're third in the majors in stolen bases and that sort of thing. Runs are just so hard for them to come by. I don't think the way they're constructed right now, and I don't know if there's another bat out there that they can add. Obviously, you need Brandon Lau to come back. You need some guys to step up. Arozarena had his best month. I mean, May, he hit like 350. And, you know, he started to get toasty a little bit. And he's been really good on the road for whatever reason, not so good at home. But if they don't start swinging the bats better, and I mean 1 through 9, not 1 through 5 or 4. I mean, when Kevin Kiermaier is carrying you, and he did for a month, that's not a great sign. They've got to find either some more bats or hope that they get healthy and get toasty in a hurry, because you know, this pitching staff is having to go out there and win with very few runs.
Well, they need Brendan Lau back. They need Josh Lowe,
yes,
to come back and be what they think he can be his rookie year. Granted, I think they think a higher ceiling, obviously, down the road.
Sure,
but he needs to come back and be productive.
Sure.
And then, you know, but you also need some pitching to come back to help that too. I mean, Shane Boz is doing rehab right now. Looks pretty good so far.
Yep.
That would be a big bolster to that pitching staff.
Yeah.
Which then can take some of the pressure off that offense as well. So,
although the pitching has been great, it'd be great to get Boz back. Now, Drew Rasmussen had his worst outing. I mean, he walked the first two batters he faced, which he hasn't done. He gets out of it, gives up a couple of runs, and then the Rangers just keep chipping away at him, and he didn't last very long. Got knocked around quite a bit, but he's been stellar. I mean, he's been terrific. Shane McClanahan, by the way, holy moly, is that guy good? He did not have his best stuff, but he got off the hook with the Yankees the other day. In spectacular fashion, getting the ground balls for double plays. There were some nice plays made. I mentioned Taylor Wall starting a double play. So he had defense behind him. But what I liked about it was he didn't have his best stuff. He had to battle. He had to grind through that. And that Yankee lineup is not one you want to grind through. He managed to do it. Show me a better left-hander in baseball right now. Really not many better pitchers in baseball right now, but certainly not a better left-hander. They could throw 100 miles an hour, has 4++ pitches, and now he attacks everybody. Doesn't walk many batters at all. After that game, at least, I know it may have changed since then, he was leading the American League, if not the majors, in strikeouts. He had like 88 strikeouts already this season. So, man, it's been fun to watch him develop that quickly.
As we've talked about, I mean, you know the four pitches, that's obvious, and you see. Mm-hmm. It's the mental part of the game that has impressed me this season by him. You were always worried with Glasnow hurt that he's now considered the ace of the staff, whether the Rays consider him that or whatever, you know. But that's
how would he handle that, right?
How would you handle the mental part of it? That,
right.
You know, okay, I've got to be the ace. I can't, you know, make a mistake here. It's handling that part of it for a young pitcher. In any sport, I mean, forget the pitcher part. I mean, that's there's a lot of guys that have the physical tools to play professional sports.
No doubt.
It's the mental part of the game that separates the really good ones from the good or less than good ones.
Right.
Is that, you know, how they handle, it's not only thinking the game and executing, but handle the pressure of it too. And, you know, there is an added pressure when you're the opening day starter and you're expected to be, you know, called the ace or by many will be called that. And, mm-hmm. and that adds just adds more to it. And he's handled it beautifully this year. And we've seen him making adjustments in games, particularly on games when he doesn't have stuff. Or, you know, we've talked about that Red Sox game a few weeks back. They ambushed him and started attacking him. And so he said, okay, I can change. Yeah. I can throw differently. I can change my game plan.
Right.
Because you've made an adjustment. So I'll make an adjustment. And that's a big time move by a young pitcher.
And you know, he was a guy, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he was a guy who was his own worst enemy. You could see him beat himself up over just the smallest things, right? If he walked a batter, if he let a guy, you know, off the hook. Now he just keeps firing. Now he's more in control out there. Still competitive as hell. He's a bulldog. He is going to fight you, man. And it doesn't matter the situation. Like now, the worst situation it is, the more he bears down. But you're right. Teams have decided, look, we can't get two strikes on us or we're going to be out. He's going to strike us out. So teams are up there and they're swinging early in the counts. And he has, you know, pitched backwards when he needs to with the changeup, with the curveball, the slider. And, if he needs it, he's got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball that he can locate. But he throws them all for strikes, and they're all really good pitchers. That changeup that he's added has been a difference maker for him. And he has just been terrific. He's going six or seven innings every single time. He's giving depth to them. He's going up against the best pitchers of the other team. And that Yankee lineup is no picnic. They lead baseball in home runs, I believe. And you know, he did such a good job. So to have him finish out that series, that was big. It'd be nice if they could follow it up in Texas with something. We'll see if they're able to come back in this one against the Rangers as we wrap up the podcast, but you know, the Rays are who we thought they were. They just simply need to get more offense somehow from some people, and there's a lot of guys not having good years, and you can't have that. You need Rosarena to stay hot and not just for 1 month. You need Wander Franco to get going again, and I know those hamstrings are an issue. And then you need Brendan Lau, like you said, to come back and maybe even low if they can get him up here and get him going. So we'll see how they do. Bucks have OTAs today. They go back out there, and this is getting close now to the mandatory minicamp, which is next week, June 7 through 9. That's when we're pretty sure we'll see Tom Brady, and who knows, maybe Rob Gronkowski, although...
Well, we'll see Tom Brady this week. It just won't be here in Tampa.
Well, that's right. He's got the match going on up there in Las Vegas against... Well, it's him and Aaron Rodgers against Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, and all the trash talking commenced last week. We did a conference call with those guys, and I think the veterans did a pretty good job of it. You know, they were talking about the difference between when they played and when these guys are playing now. But I don't know. This could be a tragedy in terms of like the actual TV show from the golf standpoint, because, you know, they have changed this. And Roger said, he goes, when I agreed to do it, I didn't realize they had taken the pros out of the game. Up till now, it's always been, you know, one of the celebrities or quarterbacks and then a professional golfer, you know, Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson or Bryson DeChambeau, that kind of thing. Well, this year, there are no pros. It is all, you are on your own, man. Even though it's best ball and all that stuff, match play, they could be whacking it for a while. I mean, I don't know, with my buddies, man, I go out there and, you know, you may not have one in bounds for about 3 or 4 holes, you know, so I don't know what these guys are going to do. But thankfully, they're only playing 12 holes, you know, with best ball kind of thing, format or whatever, and, you know, match play, it could be over in 9. But it starts at 6 p.m. on TNT on Wednesday. So that's always a good time. And then he's got to come back here, and we think or expect at least that he'll be at the mandatory minicamp. I don't know. I go back and forth. Like, is there something that Gronk is waiting for besides letting these OTAs get past him and also the mandatory minicamp? Or after June 1st, that will have some impact maybe on salary cap numbers and you know, that sort of thing. I'm not sure. I don't think it will, but... I wonder if Gronk, just for Gronk's sake and camaraderie and, you know, do it for the team, might decide if Tommy wants him to come out there for the mandatory camp as well, which means he'd have to sign here in the next week or two. But in my mind, there's no doubt that he's playing. I don't think he's out there catching passes, you know, with Brady and then shagging fly balls afterwards unless he plans on playing. And if he's going to play, I'm fairly certain he's going to play in Tampa Bay, although – a lot of people speculating maybe Cincinnati or different places. I just don't see it. So
there's no way with Tom Brady back playing he's going to play somewhere else. If Brady had retired, maybe.
Right. And that's what I had heard.
If Brady had stayed retired.
He did retire, and I was told that Gronk was only a week or two away from announcing his retirement. And I think when Brady came back, that kind of went, you know, like in his mind – I think Gronk was like, okay, I'm done because Tom's done and I'm done. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe I'm not done. And then, of course, we know that Brady has tremendous influence over Gronk, and I'm sure he's been working on him from the get-go since he came back. But I do think that Gronk was at best undecided, if not leaning towards calling it a career, because really there wasn't much for him left to do, and there's still not, unless, you know, he wants to help himself and Brady win a Super Bowl, maybe right off into the sunset. Obviously, Brady's got a job at Fox whenever he's done, so he's not worried about the future. But I do think that, you know, Gronk's, in my mind, has decided to play. That's why he's out there. That's why he's, you know, throwing with Brady and doing all those things. And it's just a question of whether we'll see him, you know, around or after the mandatory minicamp, June 7 through 9. So, lots going on. It's going to be a big week. OTA is, of course, the match on Wednesday. The Rays continue their series against the Texas Rangers and the other Rangers, the New York Rangers. From one Rangers to another. Go against the Tampa Bay team. Tampa Bay Lightning take them on Wednesday in the Eastern Conference Finals. So busy, busy week of sports ahead for us on Sports Day Tampa Bay. As always, we'll have a mailbag segment this week, but you don't have to wait for it. Just go ahead and submit those questions to us on Twitter if you'd like to. Do that by sending them to us on Twitter at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFLStroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.